Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
Dino Long.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Smack dogs.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante. Hope everybody had a great weekend.
Except the Cubs, I'm looking. They're 3.5 back now.
Well, didn't they win 2 or 3 in Toronto?
I don't know. Did they? Dude, I fell off the radar this weekend. I was in Peru, Illinois. I was in Buckley, Illinois, watching EI baseball. I was in St. Joe.
Oh, the old Dutch Masters.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. And Buckley ended up beating Royal. They played in the best of three. Royal got the win Saturday in St. Joe. And then Buckley swept the doubleheader yesterday to win the championship. So there you go. I don't know what year that is for EI, but I know it's been around forever. But it was fun to go. We've got a friend, the McGreenies. Dawson plays, and the Hannigans, I guess, Cooper Hannigan, who was a teammate of Andrew in high school, and also Dawson McGreeny, who's now at Parkland, Coop's at DAC. They both played for the Royal team. So we went and saw their family and maybe had a couple cold ones.
Nice. Very nice.
I mean, you have to, right? You can't show up in an EI game and not drink a beer, or people start to wonder, like, what's wrong with Lon? But it was cool. It was very cool. And, of course, you know, Buckley's got that cool field. I think you've been there.
I've been there.
Sure,
yeah.
Did you play EI?
I did not. No.
You didn't. Okay. I didn't know if you had played that, but it's a great lick. I mean, those two teams, man, there's a lot of talent on those two teams, and it was fun to watch. And Andrew, I know Andrew just enjoys. Andrew can sit around. He can be around baseball 24 hours a day. I finally get tired of it, but it was cool. It was cool. And then we
better
went to
watching Cardinals baseball.
Yeah, right. I just told Donnie, our good buddy Donnie, who was in to say hi. Of course, the Gifford man, he was telling me, he asked me about the Cardinals, and I'm like, Donnie, I have not watched a game. The last game I watched was probably Cardinals Cubs, and that was like 2 weeks ago. And before that, I hadn't watched a game in probably a month. So it's been kind of a weird year that I haven't had time to watch many games, but I couldn't have picked a better year.
It's a good year for you to take one off.
I'm assuming if the Cardinals would have been better this season, I would have made commitment, right? I would have committed myself to watching these games, but they've been so bad. I'm like, I'm not worrying about it. My stress level's been down. It's been, and then, you know, like that London series kind of got me, you know, kind of sucked me back in. And I'm like, you know, it's Cubs Cardinals. I don't care how bad either one is or how good either is. I mean, it's always fun to watch. And so I watched a little bit of that series, but that day that, I think the Cardinals, did they end up winning that game? But that when they gave up, like, I don't know, like 2 runs early and we had 3 errors. And I
think they ended up beating Stroman that
start. Oh, that's right.
And that was really the last. That sent Stroman on a downhill trajectory.
No doubt.
But then there was that series where the Cardinals, or little stretch there where the Cardinals had, what, seven games against the Cubs out of like nine or ten.
But other than that,
the Cubs owned that stretch and put the dagger in the Cardinals' hearts.
Other than that, I just decided, you know what, it's just really not worth the football cannot get here quick enough.
I know.
I mean, it just cannot get. Luckily, we've had, you know, a little bit of what's the word I'm looking for? Keeping us busy, in other words, with Illinois basketball. Now, you were right on your 30-plus pick against Valencia. Is that who we played? Or
they played Valencia the second
Valencia,
game.
Valencia, yeah.
They played
I keep wanting to call it like
Catalonia All-Stars.
Oh, okay. And beat them like 100-some to 60. So 100-some. You know, you're not supposed to say and when you do like 140. You're not supposed to say 140.
Oh.
That's a little grammar lesson, I guess. But, which you didn't, but I almost did. But you said that they'd win by 30, and they did. And did Hansberry, did I read your article? I mean, or was I starting to read your article maybe on Hansberry?
I think Jeremy wrote that one.
Oh, okay. I haven't read it yet. But so he went off. He had a good.
He had 19 points to lead
sweet,
the team.
And sweet.
I think he might have put up a double-double.
Wow.
I'm doing a write-up for Illini Inquirer on left-handed. That note in terms of writing. Where I was compiling all the stats and the averages from the team. Now, we can talk more about this in terms of what, on the whole, some of the shooting numbers at the end of this Spain trip.
Still bad.
Not great. Not great.
I didn't know if they went up a little. If you scored 100 points, you'd think you'd shoot better.
Hansberry, 19 points, 11 boards.
Nice.
In 18 minutes in that last game. But on the whole, while we're on the topic, I do also want to mention the AP Top 25 for college football came out. Today, we can discuss that as well. But Illinois, as a team, they shot 46% from the field. On the whole, they outscored their opponents 292 to 202, so winning by an average of 30 points. That first game, they were trailing going into the fourth quarter, won by 11, and then blew out both the teams after that. But they shot 20% from three on the whole.
This is bad.
16 for 79, and they only shot 60% from the free throw line.
You're not going to – I don't know. You're not going to win many games in March doing that. I can tell you that.
I've got the stat pulled up for the article I'm going to write, but in case people are going to read, aren't listening, or if you're just listening, you're not going to read.
Right.
Minnesota was dead last in the country last year in free throw shooting. They shot 62% at the line. Illinois and Spain, three-game sample size. Don't freak out too much.
Well.
They shot 60%.
Man.
So – 2 percentage points worse than what was the worst in the country last year.
So we have guys that can't shoot threes, and they can't even make free throws. I mean, we're not dumb. That's going to be an issue. That's going to be a major issue during the season. If you can't make your free throws, and if you can't, I don't even know what it could say consistently, but if you're zero threat from the outside, then you better run one hell of an offense to get points. Now, they scored 100 points that last game, but it sounds like they were playing the – Philo All-Star team, which I'm sorry, I don't want to take anything away from Philo's All-Star team because they may give maybe they do better in Spain. They may go 1-2 in Spain, but it's just like, come on. I mean, except for Luke Goody, right? Well, and of course, Marcus Damask, who didn't play.
Yep.
But I'm not going to sit here and tell you Marcus Damask is Larry Bird either, right? I mean, I watched him in college and he was a pretty good knockdown shooter and he can hit threes, but he's not going to come in and change the complete complexion of this team. Like, oh, well, once Damask gets there, we're going to start shooting 40% collectively. Well, no, you're not. This is, I don't know. I'm trying not to get worried about that, but I can already see us in January sitting there going, well, you remember back in August, we were talking about this being an issue. So who knows? Who knows?
They should be better from three than they were last year. But I say that with confidence, but it's not like an absolute fact because you lost Matthew Meyer, who really was your best three-point shooter last year. Now, losing R.J. Melendez to the portal doesn't hurt because he had a terrible year from beyond the arc. Jaden Epps, especially about February on, really struggled from three as well. Sky Clark, you're not losing anything with his three-point shooting. No. And on paper, Damask, Guerrier, even Harmon on a smaller sample size all last year shot 34-35% from three.
Okay.
But in terms of, again, it's early indications, Coleman Hawkins looks like the same in terms of three-point shooting. Now, that's not good for his NBA stock. No. And, yes, there's still a lot of time, a lot of games to be played, time to get that shot right if you can. But him taking that next step into being a knockdown shooter does not look to be the case, in, at least in terms of what we saw in Spain. Terrence Shannon Jr., streaky. He has one game where he hits a couple back-to-back, I mentioned in that Valencia game. But then in the others, he went 0 for 6 in the first one from three, and then after that he went 1 for 5. So he can have some duds from beyond the arc as well. So it's a team that I think is going to want to play in transition a lot, because I think in the half court it could really bog down, especially like Ty Rogers at point guard. That's already someone sagging into the lane. If you got Sincere Harris, who shot a number of threes, didn't make very many of them. if he's out there, you don't really respect him from three. So you got some players out there that you're going to naturally have defenses clog up the lane.
Exactly.
And that hurts Terrence in terms of driving, and that's one thing you'd worry about. Again, I'm going to keep coming back to it and saying it is early. I don't want to just cement, stamp. That's not even – no, those are two different things. Put it in cement or stamp it with ink that this team can't shoot. It might even be worse than last year. But it is concerning, and they didn't answer any kind of question marks. I mentioned last week Iowa hit 15 threes in that Valencia game. Illinois hit 16 threes on the trip.
Wow.
So that's just kind of tough stat. It's a weakness for this team for now.
And it's weird. It's weird because – and here, you know what else probably? Iowa's probably still bad at defense. I mean, that's the funny thing. Like, they're still making shots, but they're bad at defense. Illinois is pretty good at defense, but not making shots. Lindy on the U of I Line of Lake text line kind of went with your thought there. Actually, he texted this or sent this in before your thought, so he wins in the transition thing. I'm kidding. But he said, I'd like to see the stats of the projected 10. Add Damask didn't play. Sounds like they were playing mostly in transition. And I agree with that. There's another point to this, too. A point guard sometimes puts guys in the right position to make shots. Mm-hmm. And we all understand between an uncontested three or a slightly contested and or contested three, it's a lot harder to make that if it's the latter two. And sometimes a point guard with penetration, et cetera, can set guys up for those uncontested threes. That's where I'm not saying that we're going to have an issue at point, but even if a guy like Ty Rogers or Draven this year, let's say, even if they play fairly well as a point guard, they still might not be of the skill set to set like Luke Goody up for a wide open three from the corner or Coleman Hawkins for a wide open three from the wing, et cetera. Sometimes a really skilled point guard can get guys the ball in the proper spot, right, where you want to be hit, you know, like right around that shooting pocket and get them in rhythm, you know, et cetera. But I don't know. I mean, that's something you need to watch out for, too, and you wonder how much, you know, with last year having Sky and then Jaden and really not having a true point guard, it seemed like, maybe that added to that. I don't know. I really don't know.
But I think there's some give and take with it. Like, there's definitely truth in that a point guard who's a legit playmaker that can break down a defense, that sees things a step ahead, so to speak, can set you up in rhythm at the right time where there's enough space to make a shot.
Yes.
And then you can also maybe run some different stuff offensively when you trust the guy who has the ball in his hands. By the same and last year that was lacking, for sure. Absolutely.
Yes.
But at the same time, RJ Melendez, not just to pick on him because he wasn't the only one, but he's the probably the most glaring example in my head. How many open corner threes
he did have
he
a lot.
Had last year.
That's a good point.
That you can say, oh, well, maybe it was a second late in terms of delivery. Maybe it was a little off target.
That's
but
good point.
I think for the most part, he got set up with a lot of open corner threes that he just simply didn't make.
He just didn't make them.
And there were probably a number of other guys that were in that range, too. Now, part of the point guard conversation is like Terrence taking step back threes because he's playing on the ball instead of having somebody set him up, or Matthew Meyer doing something similar, Coleman Hawkins. But I think in general, so there's both ways of it. Guys got to make shots, period, like plain and simple, better than they did last year. But also you'd hope that your point guard can make good decisions and see the floor well, which Illinois has questions because either it's going to be Ty Rogers, who's not a natural point guard learning this position, or you have Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn, who is a true freshman trying to also fit into that mold.
I was while you were saying that about RJ, I remember I think it was Bill from Troy that texts in all the time. It would really stink if Bill didn't live in Troy. You know, I'd be like, man, that That's a facade. I think he does. He's already texted today, by the way, that he did not pay for the MLB package monthly, or he paid for it monthly and he didn't even renew August. So no reason to watch the Cardinals is what he's saying. But I think Bill brought up the idea of last year that RJ is more of a slasher and more of a guy that can get to the rim, and yet we have him positioned at the three-point line because I think we all wanted him to be a good shooter. I don't know that he was a good shooter. I think we all wanted RJ to be a good shooter, and I just don't think it worked that well. And I remember that last year just thinking, because you're dead on. He had a ton of wide-open looks that he did not make, and at some point you're just like, okay, stop shooting. You're not going to make him, so just quit shooting. And I wonder if RJ was more of a slasher but wanted to be known as a shooter, or if the coach, you know, if the staff was like, no, we want you out on that three-point line because you're one of our threats. I know that's looking back. It means nothing for looking forward, but I always wondered about that from last year, that was that RJ wanting to go back more and shoot, or were the coaches just saying, we need a threat from the outside because we don't have Luke Goody this season, so you got to be that guy? So I don't know.
I think it's a little of both. Like, you look at his freshman year, I think he was 9-for-17 from three on the season.
Oh,
like,
well.
It was really efficient, high percentage, but really, really small sample size.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not saying that they extrapolated too much from that. I think that it was someone they thought they could turn into a very good shooter.
Right.
Now, he didn't shoot it very well, obviously, last year. And I think that partially he's a slasher, but not a guy that I think has the handles to do it to where he has to change direction. I think he's a straight line guy.
That's
and we
fair.
Saw that in transition sometimes. Sometimes his baseline dunks. But if he ever had to, off the bounce, get stopped by a defender and have to make a crossover move or anything like that, that wasn't his game. You didn't want him having to break somebody down off the bounce. So I do think he should have cut more off the corner and maybe just tried to create some action where he's trying to just cut to the basket and slash in that way. But I think it's fair to say, based on the fact that his three ball was not working, he really wasn't a threat just camping out there in the corner. I understand that part of it.
And I don't think Luke Goody's going to get those same looks. You know what I'm saying? I don't think teams are going to allow Luke Goody to get that open. Now, there's going to be times where he is.
Right.
And he's probably going to take, you know, 2 out of 5 he's going to make. He's going to shoot 40%. I'm in Goody's camp to think that he's going to be at least high 30%, right? Three-point. I just can't imagine other teams understanding that, we'll just leave him out there.
You got to make the choice. Like, if Terrence is going downhill,
that's true.
You're going to either send help or you're going to stick on Luke and leave that lane more open.
That's a good point. Or Damask, if they're out there together.
Same thing, yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see. So I don't know. I love it. We're just talking. We're like breaking down Illinois basketball in August.
Do you want me to give you the quick version of the stats?
Yeah.
Real quick?
Yeah.
For each guy. And Lindy mentioned that earlier. All right. Terrence, 15 points a game. Shot 48% from the field.
Wow.
3-for-15 from three. 20%. 15 points a game. Pretty solid.
I'll take that.
48% from the field.
No
pretty
doubt.
Solid as well. I mean, a guy that really was active in transition, running the floor, and we know he finished at the rim really well. Coleman Hawkins, I'll get rid of the decimals because I know you hate those.
Thank you.
9 points, 9 rebounds a game, just north of 2 assists per game, 48% from the field, 4-for-12 from three, 33%.
Exclude that last part. You got to love Coleman Hawkins. Coleman Hawkins is like a glue for this team, and you just read it there. Averaged nine points, averaged nine rebounds, got a couple assists.
48% from the field.
I think the guy can't help himself. Like, he wants to be the glue guy, and yet we are wanting him to be more of a star, right? I'd almost rather you tell me he averaged 14 points and 6 rebounds, but as an Illini fan that wants to win games, so this is horrible because I love Coleman, but I want Illinois to win more games than I care necessarily about Coleman making the NBA. Does that make sense? Although that's probably not a fair. Although I'd rather, I do want to see him succeed because he's been so loyal to this team, but it's almost to a fault he can't help himself. Like, he's like, no, I want to rebound. I want to have assists. I want to do that. It's like, Coleman, just go be a ball hog. Just go out and be a ball hog and score 15 a game. But I don't know.
Do you think that's the best for Illinois is if he scores more, is what you're saying?
For him.
For him is if he scores more.
It's best for Illinois if he's doing what he just did. 9 points, nine rebounds, averaging two or three assists a game. And that's what I mean. It's almost like, so as an Illini fan, I love that stat line. But if I put myself in his corner hoping that he gets to the NBA, I need him to do more and be more of a.
Yeah.
But it's.
I think he's still going to play that way. I think he's going to play with the idea of trying to not be just a guy that just chucks a bunch of shots. I don't think that's good for him, especially if he misses.
That's true.
Like, I'm going to take five threes a game, but he doesn't shoot a good percentage. He's got to take good looks. When he goes to the NBA, he's not going to be a first or second or even third option offensively.
Right.
Like, he's going to be that complimentary mobile big man. They do want to see him be more aggressive, but that's – I think there's a fine line in there. There's a middle ground that he can find without having to be an A or a Batman or – I think he can be, like, your third option offensively, ideally. Although it remains to be seen if Illinois has somebody – next to Shannon, that's that next guy. Although I think if you look at the roster right now, you'd hope you just have, you know, four or five guys in double figures, and that'd be the route to go.
And there's still so much more to learn. Don't turn to your right because they're showing Packers.
Jordan Love.
And Jordan Love went 7 of 10. I pulled up the stats.
He was solid.
How about your Bears? We're gonna talk some NFL. I was able to watch the start of that Bears game, the first half of that Bears game, and I was like, dang. I mean, DJ Moore taking one of the house right off the bat.
That's fun.
That was fun. You had, there was a local bar Andrew and I were eating lunch in, and the bar was going crazy. Bears fans were going crazy. And I made the comment to Andrew, I'm like, hello, people, it's an exhibition game. But then I was like, you know what, though? After what they've been through the last couple years, to just understand that there's a light at the end of the tunnel with this team, and I was like, hell, Andrew, I said, I'd be doing the same if it was Arizona, you know, and they'd just, and they're about ready. We're like on the tail end of you. Like, we're literally doing the same thing you did last year in just terms of trying to tank and get high draft picks. But I'd probably be going crazy,
too. Oh, we're way too excited for this season.
I know, but it was awesome. Like,
it's fun right now, at least.
There's another thing that wants me to get back to it. Like, baseball's great, and I've watched a lot of big Cardinals games in bars. And it is awesome. But, you know, baseball just has its moments, right? You could go 10 minutes with nothing, and then all of a sudden, guy at second, two out, 2-2 pitch, ripped to center base hit. Now he's going to score. Now everybody in the bar is like, yes, football, you've got the ability every second, you know, to just go, yeah. And the best,
great point.
The best is to go to, like, in Chicago, let's say, I'd go to a bar where you've got a multitude of people that are rooting for the majority Bears, but also pulling for their fantasy numbers on other teams. And it almost drives you nuts because you'll be sitting there. Let's say I'm there focusing in on the Bears and the Cardinals, right? I'm just watching those two games in my little corner drinking a beer. And all of a sudden, you know, some guy named Dave in the back, because, you know, Austin Eckler just broke a 60-yard run, is like, yeah! And you're like, you're staring up going, what am I missing? What am I missing? And you're trying to find, like, exactly. And then somebody else, you know, like the Vikings just scored, and that guy has, you know, Justin Jefferson. He's like, that a boy. And you're literally the whole time just trying to, like, react to what's happening. And I'm like, this is driving me nuts. Like, is it OCD or whatever that is? Whatever it is, I've got it. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I can't have all these options. I can't have all these exciting things happening and me not knowing what the hell's going on, you know? So I totally just jumped around.
Somebody
right there,
throws a glass against the wall because Daniel Jones just threw a pick six.
That's exactly right. I did just go way off there, but that's it just reminded me, like, with the excitement the Bears fans were showing for an exhibition game, you know, in August. But yet, here you got Justin Fields hitting DJ Moore. Now, Fields didn't have to do a lot on that play. He just threw a little screen pass, essentially. But Moore taking it to the house. And then didn't Herbert take one to the house?
He did. Another screen pass.
Yeah. And it was like, wow. And our boy Aaron Lemming was tweeting out about you and I, saying, hey, I told those guys that this is what needs to happen. And he did. He nailed that. So I'm excited for you and Bears fans this year. They've always been my second favorite team. They'll never be my favorite.
Of course not.
But I like when they do well. I love when the Cardinals beat the crap out of the Bears. But I love when if the Cardinals aren't doing it, I'm definitely all in on the Bears because I just think it's going to be a fun season for them.
I appreciate that.
I really do.
You might actually be cheering for us on Christmas Eve.
That would be awesome.
Because we're playing you.
Oh, hell yes. I need to borrow some Bears stuff. Do you know anybody that's like 240 that has like a Bears jersey?
Sure, we can find somebody out there.
That's exactly right.
I appreciate that gravitational pull back to football. Although I did want to provide Lindy with a few more stats.
Oh, yeah. I took Coleman Hawkins' stats and went into a...
He's a Bears fan.
...small town bar cheering for the Bears.
He was actually getting into an argument with a Packers fan on Twitter recently.
Was he really?
Yeah. Someone was pointing out they did like a fan fest for the Packers and Bears at the same time. Where it was a practice at their home field. And, of course, Lambeau's packed. And there weren't very many people at Soldier Field, so that became a social media thing. And then Coleman goes, well, there's nothing else to do up in Green Bay.
He's right.
Yeah. So anyhow.
Sorry, Packers fans. I know you're loyal, and I think you're wonderful fans, but you're right. You don't have anything else to do. Ice fish. That's true. That's it.
There's no ice right
and
now.
And deer hunt.
Yeah.
Those are the three things, and I'm assuming there's limits to how many deer you can get, or you only can hunt certain times. So the rest of the time, you root for the Packers.
There you go. There you go. It's all been right. A good life for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has.
Let's catch a break. I gave you the stat line, Terrence Shannon Jr., Coleman Hawkins. When we come back, I'll give you some more guys in that rotation that you're going to want to know about coming off of the final game that Illinois played in Spain on Sunday. We'll talk some football as we go along. The AP Top 25 is out for college football. We'll fill you in on that. Illinois did receive some votes. Did they receive enough to get in the top 25?
Okay.
I'll leave that on a cliffhanger. In case you don't know, I think a lot of people probably do.
Hey, and we're going to have a cool guest Friday. I'll tell you about who it is.
Okay.
When we come back.
All right. There you go. If you want to win, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Gearing up for a great Illini season ahead and keeping you in the loop here at Stevie J Broadcasting. We love wearing our orange and blue. Go Illini!
Award-winning and platinum-selling artists Jason Aldean and his Highway Desperado Tour are coming to the Ruoff Music Center in Indianapolis.
Try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the loop.
Stevie J Broadcasting has a chance for you to win a pair of tickets to the show. Text in Jason to 217-359-2255 to qualify for your chance at a free pair of tickets to see Jason Aldean on Saturday, September 16th. For more details, visit steviej.com.
Pick up a few extra school supplies as you help our area Salvation Army distribute to families in need. The Salvation Army has a job fair planned for mid-August. If you know someone hiring or looking for a new gig, Champaign Park District has a banquet at Hotel in September. Get tickets for ties and tennies now here at Stevie J Broadcasting. Pepsi-Cola Bottling Company is looking for drivers with their CDL and great driving record to join their team. What a terrific company, invested in so many charities in our community and giving their staff opportunities for growth, health and dental insurance, paid time off for vacations, holidays, and family leave. This is the type of environment you've been looking for, drivers. Of course, Pepsi is an equal opportunity employer as they search for a good representative of the company to help with deliveries. Learn more online at PepsiColaCU.com.
If you're looking for a pre-owned car, truck, or van, look no further than Sarah Champagne. You know them for their five incredible vehicle brands, the BMW, Honda, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. But did you know they also have over 100 used cars, trucks, and vans in stock right now? And at Sarah Champagne, they will take care of you. You can trust them. And prices begin at under $2,000. Stop by Sarah Champagne. They're at Burwash and Savoy, or go online, sarahchampagne.com. That's Sarah. S-E-R-R-A champagne.com.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
You've changed thousands of diapers, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw in Champaign-Urbana today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
On the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5.
Too early for Christmas music?
Probably a little bit.
Okay. The other day, I put it on. I think I've got a problem.
I don't know. If it makes you happy, then it's...
It does. That's the thing,
right? Who cares, right?
It puts me in a cool mood, and I've always said, this would be my only speech I'd ever give to parents, make sure Christmas is a wonderful time for your children. I mean, honestly, make sure. We didn't always have the means to just go out and buy everything. I mean, there were little things we did, you know, mom and dad did for us. We had little traditions I did for my boys. And I think because of that, I just always loved Christmas. And I love the thought that comes with Christmas. It's a time of giving and it's just a cool time, you know? So, I mean, if it's going to be colder than hell outside, you might as well have something to enjoy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just make sure Christmas is cool, and then I think your kids will always love Christmas.
It's always my favorite time of year.
That's awesome.
Now, it helped that my birthday was December 13th,
oh,
so
wow.
I got, like, the double dip
double
there.
But, see, some will tell you that's bad.
I know. I never agreed with that.
Okay.
Because, I know when I was a kid one time, I had Santa on my cake.
Oh, wow.
Why not? We're already in Christmas mode.
Well, that's cool, then, that... That's great that your parents didn't, like, double up and say, well, we're going to put them together. And that's cool that they treated one as one and then.
Yeah, we're going to cut this Nintendo 64 in half. And you get half of it 1 week. 2 weeks later, you get the other. And hopefully we can duct tape it together and it
right.
still works.
And a game. You get the yeah. game that comes with it. I think Atari used to have a game that came with it. I think it was like some tank game or something. But, yeah. I think for the first week I had Atari, that was the only game I had. And, well, what the heck? I thought it was awesome until I got, the next game.
100%.
So Illinois, are we a top 25 football team?
They are not.
Okay.
They did receive 3 votes. I'll go through some of the Big Ten teams in the top 25 here real quick. You have Michigan number 2, Ohio State number 3. Penn State number 7. I mean, that could be a...
Wow.
I don't know what their early season schedule looks like, their first 2 games. Like, could they vault into the top 5 by the time they come here to Champaign? Could be.
That would be interesting.
They'd be expected to be a top 10 team when they roll into town. They're number 7 to open things up.
What's it called? The Big Noon Kickoff or something?
That's right.
We need to get Matt Leinart on, or... Who's part of that?
Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush... And Urban Meyer.
Which one would you want?
Reggie You'd probably Bush want to talk to cool. Matt Leinart.
Yeah, only because...
You have some questions.
Yeah, I would have some questions.
I'd want to do it, the Leinart interview, just to make fun of that Monday Night Football game.
Oh.
To come back.
Oh, that's
the Bears,
cruel.
Although I think you would be
that's
angry
cruel.
At me. I'm
that's
sorry.
That's cruel. I have a dent. I had a dent in a truck I own because of that.
I'd probably like to talk to Reggie Bush.
I think Bush would be the one I'd want to talk to. Urban be interesting too,
It'd be
man.
Interesting. He's not very likable.
No, you have 3 guys that you could go really weird directions with. You know, Leinart just never lived up to his potential, I don't think, or, his hype. Reggie Bush lost the Heisman for doing essentially what Johnny Manziel did. And Johnny's never lost the Heisman, has he?
I don't think so, no.
And then you had Urban. I mean, we just know.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer, Charlotte. Yeah, it wasn't a good run. You know, I didn't know if I was ready for the NFL, and I found out I wasn't. Yeah, that'd be interesting. You have three guys there. You could really go a lot of different ways.
Mm.
That'd be cool, though, to talk to one of those guys.
Absolutely.
Get them, especially, you know, get their thoughts on, man, that could be a really showcase game early in the year. If Illinois starts out beating Toledo and then they beat Kansas on the road, I think they'd probably be a top 25 team when that Penn State game rolled around. Imagine like number 24 Illinois against number 5 Penn State right here at Memorial Stadium at noon. Oh, let's go. Oh, it'd still be warm.
Nobody schedule a birthday. No kids' birthday parties. No weddings. I know you're probably not still scheduling that right now. Just all events are off.
Everything's off. Everything. And, yeah, I mean, I think at that point, if you get invited to, like, a birthday party, you just say, well, sorry, little Johnny.
I'll have a birthday next year.
Yeah, exactly. Your parents picked
it won't be on a Saturday. And if it's on a Sunday, then I'll be there in 2 years.
I just thought the same thing you thought. Uh-oh, the next year is Sunday. Well, guess what, Andrew? We're not celebrating your birthday the next 2 years. But, boy, that Monday birthday, we're going to really hit it hard on that one.
Unless my team plays Monday Night Football.
That'd be my luck. You know, I'd get a Thursday. I'd get a Thursday Cardinal game or a Friday Illinois Kansas game or a Saturday whatever, and then a Sunday NFL and then a Monday Night Football. It's like Lon.
We're really narrowing down.
Yeah.
You got to have your parties on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
That's it. Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah. I mean, and then otherwise you don't get to
celebrate.
You could
go Thursday because Lon would go because he doesn't get Amazon Prime.
So that's right.
He's not watching the Thursday
game. That's a good point. Yeah. Forget him. I'm not doing it. How do I get it this year? YouTube?
I'm guessing Amazon's running back the Thursdays. YouTube is for the Sunday ticket.
That's what I mean, the Sunday ticket. That was my bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you know DirecTV, though, is still doing it for the bars and the businesses? It's kind of funny. Randy just said, Lon, did you see that Rocky, which would be Rocky Kane, opened a bar in Royal? Yeah, that's where we were, actually, when I was telling you about the fans. Called Little Rocks there in Royal. Did a great job with it. Right next to Freeman's Bar I've been in. So Rock was telling me how much it is for DirecTV. Still got it in the bar in St. Joe. And it's like, wow, that's a lot of money. Mm. you gotta sell a lot of beers on Sundays to make up for the amount of money that they charge a business to get the Sunday ticket. So,
no doubt. So to bring us back here,
as we
roll along, you're good.
Here we go.
Number 19, Wisconsin. That's another game. We were talking about how awesome that environment and just the magnitude of the Penn State game could be. I think Wisconsin, number one, if Illinois has a really nice start in that first half of their schedule, it's here in Champaign. You got the Wisconsin going to want revenge after last year.
Mm-hmm.
I know the new coaching staff, new quarterbacks, so there's going to be some new pieces, but then the Bielema connection, of course. But I was looking at Wisconsin's schedule. Buffalo at home, at Washington State, Georgia Southern at home, at Purdue, Rutgers at home, Iowa at home, then at Illinois. Is it crazy? That could be a 6-0 highly ranked Wisconsin team.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point.
That rolls into town on October 21st.
I don't think Washington State's any good. Are they? Or that good?
I don't think so.
And then, you know, Purdue.
Yeah, Iowa at home.
Yeah,
at
Iowa's
Purdue.
At home. At Purdue could be interesting.
Rutgers at home.
No, I think the Iowa game will be the one. Boy, that's the week before we play Wisconsin. They have to play Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Go down. Speaking of the Iowa Hawkeyes, they come in at 25th in the rankings. Cade McNamara taking over at quarterback. Can they revitalize what's been one of the more putrid offenses and Power 5 football here of late? Know they're going to have a good defense. I know they're going to have some kind of all-American safety and some good edge rush.
Did you see the story? They've got a cornerback.
Oh, yeah.
Who's white, right?
Yes.
And I only bring this up because the last white cornerback in the NFL was Jason Sehorn, I think.
Is that right? I mean, I know who Jason Sehorn is.
Didn't the Bears have one?
We had Chris Conte.
That's it, Chris Conte.
Safety.
Oh, he was the safety. Okay.
And he was
So this kid for Iowa is supposed to be like All-American potential. Yeah. I can't think of his name.
Cooper DeJean.
That's it. DeJean or DeJean or whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah. So he's supposed to be like, I think he's preseason All-American. So that's an interesting thing. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they always in the secondary, they always have an All Big Ten guy or an All American guy, it seems like. And their tight end will be really good.
Might be DeJean.
Maybe it's DeJean or DeJean. Duh. It doesn't matter.
Second team. In my athlon, who still has, what's his name? One of the starting linebackers for Illinois. I hope this is not outdated, but he's a second team All American.
Okay.
Also
not Calvin Hart, by the way.
No. Yeah. That being Cooper DeJean.
The kid from Iowa.
Yep. Other Big Ten teams receiving votes. Minnesota got 6 votes. Illinois got 3. Notably, Kansas got 10.
Okay.
So they were a team receiving votes. And actually, interestingly enough, Toledo got 4 votes.
Wow. So they got more votes than Illinois.
One more vote than Illinois.
Well, they're predicted to win the MAC. That Toledo game, I'm not saying that it's just going to be a rollover. But like I told you, if you're finally to the next step, the next level of being good, you don't lose to Toledo.
I agree with you.
You just don't. And I know that there's an Appalachian State out there. I know that those teams can.
One of those happens every year.
It does.
Not to the magnitude of like the level of the upset that was Appalachian State.
Right, that was huge. So, I mean, Illinois has got to be weary of that Toledo team. But like I've told you, they just need to dominate up front against those kind of schools that normally don't have the depth or the sheer size on the front line. They may, like UTSA, mm-hmm. UTSA, Texas San Antonio. You know, they had the skill guys when Barry Lunney was still their offensive coordinator and they came in here and beat you. But you just have to dominate and manhandle team like Temple and Florida Atlantic. You just use your sheer brute force of Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph and Tayraw Edwards and of course on that offensive line and the running back. You just need to just beat them down, essentially.
Do you have any issue with, I wouldn't say, number one, I'll formulate the question this way. Do you have any issue in Illinois not being a top 25 team? And do you think that they were maybe even too low in terms of the vote getting, like behind a Toledo? Behind Minnesota surprised me a little bit.
Agree.
But
lose your starting quarterback. You have 3 secondary guys drafted in the NFL, or, you know, in the draft. You lose your Heisman, at least a guy that
in
was
in the mix.
Yeah, in the mix in terms of Chase Brown. No, not in terms of top 25. I still think there's something to prove.
And I'm with you on that.
But I would say they should be about where Kansas is in terms of the votes. You think about it, though, and somebody did mention about Tommy DeVito. He had a good game recently for the Giants. You know, I mean, DeVito was a solid leader and a solid player on that offensive end, but what's the impact going to be of losing the Browns, Chase and Sidney? I think if Brett Bielema...
Probably pretty high.
Yeah. If Brett Bielema came on, or the next time he comes on with us, I think that would be a question for him if it was before the season. It would just be... Obviously, you know the talent level of Chase and Sidney, but what is the impact of just losing them from your team? They seem to be just model citizens, great leaders, inspirational kind of guys that just work their tails off. To where if you were a teammate, you'd be like, well, man, Chase and Sidney are in there getting at it again. I'm going to get in there. So I wonder how big of an impact is that to not have either one of those guys this year? I think it'd be a big impact.
Yeah, for sure. Did you see Sidney had, I think, 9 tackles in
his really?
Preseason debut?
I love it, man. They're going to – those two
they
are going to do
fly something. Around, man.
He's not scared of anything.
No.
He is not scared of anything, so – No, but, I can't wait to watch those guys in the NFL.
What you're hoping is, and it maybe won't be to this level right off the bat, but then you never know what Brett Bielema was able to do in Madison with, oh, they had Melvin Gordon, he's gone. Well, then here's Monty Ball. Monty Ball's here, then he's gone. Then there's another guy that's like a, an all Big Ten, going to go play in the NFL type of running back. I'm not saying, I don't know that Josh McCray or Reggie Love is one of those guys, but then again, you might not have known.
Yeah.
Other than who they were as a recruit, like Wisconsin fans, did they circle Monty Ball? Did they know that he was going to be as good as he was after Melvin Gordon? Or, and there's a laundry list of this guy had this opportunity at Wisconsin and he was awesome. And then they just kept doing it over and over again.
Yep. I think you're exactly on. And when we talk about the big thing for Illinois football, it's that sustained success, right? And that the key to that is to always have the next guy ready to step up, whether it be in the offensive line, and we'll see that this season when you just lost three offensive linemen. We'll see what – wait, we lose two? We lost two, right? Because Pearl's back, Chrysler's back, Adams is and he's back. So we lost two. So now is the next guy ready to step up in that role defensively in the secondary? I mean, you know, that's an exception with Devin Witherspoon, a guy getting drafted fifth overall. There's not many teams – that have the next Devin Witherspoon to step in the next year and be, one of the best cornerbacks, if not the best cornerback in the country. So I'm not expecting that from him. But, you know, these Kendall Smith, Quan Martin, I mean, you know, what's that going to look like? Matt Bailey's a little bit banged up. Brett Bielema said Saturday that he might be the only guy that isn't ready for the season, and it's due to a foot injury he had in the spring.
Yeah, I don't love that he's still in a walking boot.
I don't either at all. So you look at stuff like that, and it's like, okay, who was the linebacker we lost? Well, you lost Calvin Hart, and who was the other linebacker that was alongside Tariq Barnes? But anyway, now you've got guys like Dylan Rosiak. Is he ready?
Dark Angelo,
yeah. So you've got – I can't say the one kid's name. Is it Udelge or – I'm not even going to try it. But like Rosiak, you know, are they ready to step in? I mean, it's just is when your system or organization or
Oh, are you
or
thinking
team,
Kanina Odaluga?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Gosh, I didn't even come close on that, did I?
I only know that because we had him on the show while you were gone, me and Joey.
Oh, that's
did.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. I loved how, I don't know if it was Wagner or Werner wrote that he's got a sports, what'd they say, action? What like the little dolls? What do you call those?
Like action figures?
Yeah. He's got action figure body. Like, you know how they're always ripped?
Wow.
But, you know, we'll see. We'll start seeing this year, like, okay, do we have guys then that just fill in the next spot and automatically transition into that to where you're like, oh, I didn't realize Rosiak was that good. You know, so that's what you get with Monty Ball and those kind of guys. Now we'll see if Illinois' program is in that spot yet. Or is there still a little bit more to do to get in that spot? So it'll be interesting.
That's a good point.
I totally didn't let you do the Illinois basketball.
That's all right.
I am going to say this before I forget. Art Sitkowski.
There we go.
Who is a guy that I've really wanted to talk to. Reached out to Brett. He set it up for Friday. I'm not sure exactly what time it's going to be in the 3 hour. We're going to visit with Art. I'm wanting to get his perspective on, number one, it sounds like Barry Lunny uses him quite a bit as a coach. Like, and Lunny said, hey, he stepped right in and kind of took over, and I love it. I don't have to baby him around. He's doing his own thing. And I think that's pretty unique for the quarterbacks in this room with Altmyer, who's still fairly young. And, I mean, essentially all your quarterbacks minus Paddock are younger guys. And to have a guy like Art Sitkowski that has been through it and is basically their age, right? He was their teammate last year. Now, I know not Altmyer because he wasn't here, but you get the point. So I think that'll be kind of a unique thing for those guys to have someone like Art, who's more of their age, to say, okay, what were you seeing on this play, or what did you see, et cetera. So I was just excited to talk to Art. So he's going to join us Friday. I can't wait to visit with him on that.
Sounds good. That'll be great. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line and Link text line. I'll promise, Lindy, that I will get you the stats before the end of the show.
That's my fault.
I'll do that next hour. We're also going to play Brett Bielema from Saturday. They had Illinois Media Day here in Champaign, so Bielema spoke to the media. I also have some Aaron Henry queued up if we do have time to get you some of that as well.
Okay.
And a little bit of Justin Fields, just because I'm excited.
Heck yes.
And he had a pretty nice, he'll tell you on the front end, it was more of his guys after the catch doing some work, but there's excitement around this Bears team, and Justin Fields gave some thoughts after the first preseason game over the weekend.
I mean, when we're listening to Bears postgame from exhibition game number one. No, actually, I was kind of with you on this. I'm like, I want to hear him.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm excited for you guys.
You are going to have to. You're going to know. Well, I'm either going to be that Monday after the week one when they play the Packers.
Oh.
I'm either going to be over the moon.
Yes.
Or I'm going to be pretty bummed.
Yeah. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to hammer the Packers. And for an hour, you're going to sit here and talk to Jay Layman about Illinois football. And the whole time, you're just going to be like, I don't care that we beat Kansas.
Although it'll be off the Kansas game. I'm super amped for the Kansas game.
And you know what? I don't know if I'm going to be here that Monday after the Kansas game.
I won't be here the lead up to Kansas.
So it's just going to be you boiling with either anger or excitement, wanting to talk Bears, and Jay Layman's going to dominate the scene. And that's good. We need him dominating the scene because he's awesome at what he does. But he's going to be talking about Illinois football for an hour, and you're going to be like, oh. And then you might have a player you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be like,
did you catch the Bears game?
Right.
Before we talk about Kansas. And that was on Friday, isn't it?
It's going to be like,
you guys even remember that?
Hour and a half into the show before Pipes can gloat and or break things about the Bears and Packers.
When Eddie Jackson took that interception back to the house off of Jordan Love, what'd you think?
That's good. I'm going to have to listen in that day.
I can't wait.
I am going
to. I hope it goes that direction.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
Two Hall of Famers are gone and we still lose to these guys.
Enough! There you go.
I'll be ready. But I don't want to think about it right now. All right, we do got to catch a break. On the other side, like I mentioned, Brett Bielema, have some Justin Fields, and I will get you some more stats from the Illinois basketball trip to Spain. This is The Drive.
Join the Champaign Parks Foundation for a fun evening of food, socializing, and entertainment at the iHotel and Conference Center with Champaign Park District's Youth Scholarship Fund to benefit from the new Ties and Tennies Gala. It's coming up on Thursday, September 14th, and you'll enjoy dueling pianos, a plated dinner, complimentary wine and beer, live and silent auction, and featured speaker Team USA Paralympian sitting volleyball player Nicole Millage. Learn more details. Visit champagneparks.org.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Hey, it's Stevie J. I have a Stever offer for you. The Stever is where Stevie J gives you money and you spend it and keep the stuff. You have to use it within 7 days and tell me what you thought about the business when you're done. Today, from the Long Branch Restaurant, Long Branch up in Gifford, Illinois, Donnie and Hunter and Taylor and the team, they provide steaks and some other great food as well. So here's the deal. I'll give you $50 if you want to go up there and eat. $50 from the Long Branch. Go to GoStever.com if you don't have a free account. Sign up, click accept when you see the offer, and you might just get yourself $50 to go to the Long Branch Restaurant. They're up in Gifford, Illinois, beautiful Gifford. And again, it's our Stever offer of the day. GoStever.com, click accept. You have to use this within 7 days, so check your calendar. Long Branch is open Wednesday through Saturday. All right? $50, Long Branch, GoStever.com, GoStever.com.